I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
It's the preview show with Betway. The Premier League is back this weekend. Man United are going to be taking on Norwich. Spurs could go fifth with a win, but that's not going to happen. Sweet Donaldson, Puke Moore and Soup Campbell are back doing what we do best. Marcus is near, so I'm in charge, guys. So Straighten up and fly right.
I noticed every mention of your name on the running order, you changed from Pete to Sweet Donaldson.
Yeah,
yeah, baby.
Sweet nice. Baby Jim.
The gloves
Sweet
are off.
Mary Jane
The gloves
Donaldson.
Are off. People expecting football chat can sling their hook.
Can you turn your phone off, please,
I'm just going to turn it off.
So unprofessional.
Sorry.
He's taking calls left, right and centre.
It's one of my colleagues who knows I'm doing a show.
Yeah.
Are you
back into Bitcoin again?
Yeah, I am.
Are you trading?
Oh, I forgot
big?
About my Bitcoin.
What? Have you not checked up how much your Bitcoin is?
You
like?
Carry on. I'll have a look now.
All right, okay. Well, Jim, you all right?
Yeah.
I've just realised I forgot about my Dogecoin.
Oh, you've got Dogecoin?
I don't really have it, but it does exist.
Yes, it does, yeah.
Or it did
Everyone
exist.
Opened a bit yeah. of...
The app's logged me out. I'll have to check later.
Is it Michael Owen involved now in a cryptocurrency?
Michael Owen got paid a bit of money to flog some nonsense, probably. Yeah. Absolutely stacked. It's very much like a lot of things that Michael Owen have been involved
in. When 50 Cent found out that he had several million dollars worth of Bitcoin that he had forgotten about, right. When I log into my app, it's going to be about 50 quid.
Yeah,
it is.
If
yeah,
I'm
it
lucky.
Is now, yeah.
If I'm lucky.
Yeah. Well, the Premier League is back this weekend. Hurrah. Manchester United are going to be taking on Norwich on Saturday afternoon. Give them a two halves midweek in the Carabao.
Yeah, they're not a very good team.
They're not a very good team, are they?
I think that people have put a very brave face on this compared to what I witnessed, particularly in the first 45 minutes of this game against Manchester City, their crosstown rivals. I don't know about you, Jim, but I thought this was turgid stuff. I think
United, presumably.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, Man City didn't even need to try.
Yeah, we did see Kevin De Bruyne said, yeah, we did about 15 minutes on it in training this morning. He said, we played this way a few times with the whole false nine thing. And it's like, yeah, so, you know, we didn't really do a lot of tactics. We just trained as usual.
They had
they had
rotation players taking the mick on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, unbelievable.
Man United beat them in the league.
No.
Like, they managed to turn it around in 15 minutes.
Yeah. Solskjaer says that the players have to start quicker. Is that really their problem? I think bigger problem is that Scott McTominay is the most important player at that football club.
I think that's
a bigger problem.
I think one of the problems is that Phil Jones is basically just a gif.
Scott McTominay, as other people have called him, they missed him particularly. I think Brandon Williams looks like a really good young player.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's exciting for Man United fans who've got a tradition of bringing good young players through. But ultimately, Man City are a good team, and we know that. But their biggest problem is probably their coach and their structure and everything that's going on off the pitch, which is then informing, in my opinion, and lots of people's opinion, on the pitch. I mean, you know that with 20 minutes to go, Marcus Rashford is a good enough player to lash one in and make it look respectable. But I'd be tearing my hair out if I supported a team that big against their rivals and they perform like that.
Especially players who are so quick and so they've got enough stamina to work really hard. But it just seems when they get out on the pitch, certainly in the first half in matches, they just seem a bit shell-shocked at the idea of running around.
Well, they're so inconsistent, aren't they? It's very difficult to see what the game plan is beyond generally being in favour of the counter-attack. Mm. They seem a little bit at sea in terms of what their identity is. And I mean, you know, Mourinho had a dig at Solskjaer, didn't he, saying, I wish I could talk about the future in every post-match interview. And there is a sense of that with Solskjaer. There's this sort of real sense of a lack of urgency. It's almost like he speaks as if he's in charge of the youth team.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's looking ahead to the future.
But Jim, the last three games for Man United, obviously the Man City game, which we just mentioned, it was turgid stuff against Wolves in the FA Cup. I can't remember if we mentioned it on Monday, but I don't think they had a shot on target for the first time in 5 years. The game before that, they were beaten quite handily by Arsenal. What did you make of Man United's performance against Arsenal?
They were second best in that they were beaten to everything first. It's difficult to sort of view that without my Arsenal hat on, because I think Arsenal very much were the better team. But they... shell-shocked is maybe a little bit extreme, but they did look like they didn't really have an answer to a team that were working harder than them.
It's like they just met sometimes.
Yeah. I mean,
we're all professional footballers, but we've just met.
They had a decent amount of efforts, actually. I mean, none of them were that sort of clear, but yeah, they just look a bit average.
Yeah.
Is the reality of it.
We're not used to seeing people in those shirts average.
When they went to Norwich, I expected Norwich to do a job on them, but Man United actually beat them fairly handily. I was really disappointed in Norwich that afternoon, and to be honest, I've been disappointed with most of the things they've done since. But so you've got to be careful and not think, oh yeah, well Norwich are going to come to town and give them a run around. But they do need to realise that there's nothing to be scared of with Man United. Yeah. I mean, you imagine Man United come at this with a win, perhaps, but Norwich can go there with confidence. They've been poor themselves, but they should be able to go there with confidence and say, you know what, there's something in this for us. This is not evolved.
But Daniel Farke, his team just seems to flatter to deceive a little bit. They start really strongly, unlike Manchester United. So I think it will be a game of two halves.
Yeah,
now, Norwich will have an incredible time in the first half. Man United will be, they won't probe very much and they'll just look a little bit exhausted almost. And then second half, just like two very different half-time team talks.
Well, Norwich don't look like a team who can put something together for more than about 40 minutes.
Yes.
And so, even when they won at Everton, both goals came in the second half, they were much better in the second half than they were in the first, from memory. Everton had a load more shots than them and load more possession, as you'd expect, because they were at home. But so, I mean, what you're saying is true, Pete, which I've got no doubt it is. Then we're going to see Norwich are going to come flying out the blocks, maybe, yeah, go 5-0 up, and then Man United are going to go, oh, fucking hell, Rashford, do something, and then yeah, they're going to draw 5-0.
Get two. Well, so 5-0, is that your prediction? Yeah. Yeah. Put it down.
So Man United have lost, I think it's 3 of their last 5 games against teams who've started in the relegation zone that day.
Okay.
So they can be got at by teams that you
that
maybe
are
wouldn't
under pressure.
Yeah, that you maybe wouldn't expect to get something.
Is the mask slipping from Ollie's face, though? Because he's got a little bit annoyed. He got a little bit annoyed with what Robin van Persie said last week. Robin van Persie said that he didn't want to see Solskjaer smiling, didn't want to see him being so jovial all the time because United are shit. Basically, I mean, I'm putting words in his mouth, but that's essentially what he was saying. And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer said something quite catty. He said, like, he took the number 20 jersey from me, but that's all he's going to take. And it's like,
really,
I don't think he's suggesting he's going to take anything else.
He's not going to say something about how he's going to get that ring back.
Yeah. But actually, did you see what he said about Ashley Young? 34 years old, heading to Inter, where all Manchester United players seem to retire. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer said, "I don't know what you're talking about." He got really arsy about it. Well, you do know what you're talking about. You've got a footballer who's clearly talking to Inter.
All the information is in the question.
And but as of this morning, as of about an hour ago, and when this comes out, this will be yesterday morning, United offered Ashley Young a contract extension to try and stop him going.
Right.
So he's obviously doesn't want him to leave. Mm. I mean, 34-year-old Ashley Young, he's had a great career and, you know, good on him, but this is Man United we're talking about here. I mean, back in the day, you wonder whether that would be... this is the problem, isn't it? All we do is talk about, well, look at him back in the day. Yeah. Look at him back in the day. And I understand that can come across as a bit unfair, but this is a team who spent a huge amount of money. They're a massive club and they're in disarray. And I'm surprised that Solskjaer is still there. Who knows what's going to happen?
But the way they sort of set up, look at Aaron Wan-Bissaka, obviously got a lot of plaudits this season. He's played a lot of football. But apparently no Manchester United player in training has managed to get past him. So he's very, very good defensively. But in 2020, you can't just be a defender who defends. You can't just be a right back who just defends. You've got to have some kind of offensive prowess, and he just can't seem to get over the halfway line.
Is that partly because you're not the shit?
Well, they need the support. They need support from their fullbacks.
I think that might be symptomatic of their form, though, because I think that generally your forward play has been a big part of Wan-Bissaka's game, certainly in the past. I think just.
Well, you think this is the way Solskjaer's asking him to play? Because I think defensively he's brilliant.
Yeah.
He is brilliant.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but my impression of him is of somebody who's a pretty decent operator at both ends of the pitch.
But not this season. Not this season. He's been pretty profligate across the halfway line.
What do you think Daniel Farke's going to think about all this? How's he going to approach it?
Are you looking for an impression? Don't look at me. I'm not Marcus.
I saw an episode of League of Gentlemen last night, and he really reminded me of her lip. It was on the BBC last night, the first episode of the comeback series, where her lip's actually in a football situation talking to a PE teacher and being really camp.
Yeah,
and doing a lot of innuendo.
Well, just
the voice is exactly like Daniel Farke's.
Split that 40 minutes that you got from your team. Split into 2 20s.
Yeah,
start both halves.
Works for Man City.
Full pelt. Exactly.
Yeah.
See the game off. In the North London, we've got Spurs versus Liverpool on Saturday afternoon at 5:30. Spurs, as I said earlier on, they could go fifth with a win on Saturday. That's not going to happen, though. Juz's points per match against Liverpool, 1.61, though. So he could get something out of this match, except he won't. They're going to lose.
I don't think he's going to get 1.61 points out of it.
No, that would be difficult.
If there's anyone that could fudge that, then it's Mourinho. Because
he's hacked the system.
Yeah, he has. But he's got he might have a fairly good record against Liverpool, but he doesn't have a great record against Klopp, does he? So,
and Spurs have got a lot of players out. I mean, they're a team that they've kept one clean sheet under Mourinho. They need fullbacks, a striker, another midfielder, and a keeper.
Mm.
And if you bear that in mind, it could be an almighty blast between Mourinho and Levy at some point this summer, this transfer window. Because if you look at the devastating injuries they've had, just not in terms of because you look at other teams who've perhaps got more injuries than them, but in terms of the players they've lost, and Ndombele can't get himself fit. There seems to be a row brewing there. Sissoko's got a serious injury. I think he's going to be out till April. Kane's got a bad hamstring. Loris has been out for a long time.
Son loves
now.
A red card at the moment.
Yes. Well, Son's got a lot of responsibility on his shoulders because he's going to play up front against Liverpool.
That said, though, we've seen Son you know, take to that very well before. So I think actually up front they'd probably be okay. And
I
also
think going against Van Dijk, he's a big lad and he's quite lightweight, son. I can't see that going particularly well, but he's an incredible footballer.
And it looks like Mourinho's going to be forced into playing Harry Winks, which is like,
is it just the system they play? Why are there rumours that Harry Winks might leave the club?
Because Mourinho likes big magnificent specimens, I think.
Yeah, it might be that. Or it might be that he just doesn't like the angle of one of his eyebrows. You never know.
Yeah, exactly.
It could be absolutely anything.
Give me a reason why he doesn't like him, Pete.
It's just youth. He doesn't like youth. Youth and beauty. He doesn't like it.
And he came through the academy, which is just gross to Mourinho.
Not very
never been anywhere else?
Oh, you absolute philistine. See the world.
Yeah. Oh.
Is this the first time we're going to sort of see the Jose Mourinho bus parking? Like, just kind of pack the box and then try and hit them on the break? Because I can't see them getting anything out of this game if they don't do that.
Yeah, if ever there's a time for him to try and implement that, then it's now, isn't it? I mean, to be fair to Mourinho as well, I think Spurs had only kept one clean sheet before he arrived as well. So he's inherited a lot of problems that he's having to fix, and he's joined midway through a season, which is new to him as well. So I wonder if, I think you're probably right, Pete. I think he will not care about this as a spectacle. In fact, he will revel in ruining it as much as possible.
But he can't wait. He can't believe his luck.
But the way they've been playing most of this season under Jose Mourinho, they invite pressure on themselves by not pressurising the ball further up the field. I think their kind of pressing game is a bit disjointed.
That's what people said towards the end of the Pochettino era, where they just gave up doing it for some reason. And obviously something went wrong there and we don't quite know what it is. But this, Jim's hit on something there. This is exactly the kind of game that Mourinho loves, right? He will back himself to do something. It's on TV. It's against the best team in Europe. And he will be exactly the kind of guy who comes in and stomps all over your house party.
Yeah.
Puts out all the little joss sticks and the candles.
What kind of house party did you go to? Joss sticks and ear candles?
Yeah. I didn't say ear candles. I'm not someone who uses an ear candle. Jim, have you ever used an ear candle?
No, what is an ear candle?
It's like pseudoscience. It's like something that people put in their ear to unblock the wax.
Oh, God.
Can you imagine Jose Mourinho using an ear candle?
No, I reckon he's never done acupuncture before. I reckon
if Jose Mourinho's got a blocked ear, he puts a litre of Otex in it. Just pours it in from like a measuring jug.
I don't think he's the sort of pseudoscience alternative medicine type, is he, Mourinho?
Otex is valuable over the counter.
What is Otex?
It's like, so the way Otex works is, I think I'm right in saying that your earwax...
Soften the earwax.
Yeah, your earwax is slightly acidic. And Otex is a solution made up which is alkali.
Stronger washing up liquid.
It dissolves it.
Right.
But no real doctor advises you to use it because apparently it can give you problems.
Yeah, you shouldn't put anything.
You're supposed to put olive oil to soften your ear and then go to the doctor and have it irrigated.
So in a way, it's
sounds
like...
delicious.
It's the Jose Mourinho of ear ointment, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it will work.
Yeah.
It'll be aggressive.
You probably shouldn't use it.
Yeah, and have you ever had your ears irrigated?
I have,
It's an amazing feeling.
It's a very weird feeling. My
dad was a big proponent of it, but then they say you shouldn't really do it nowadays.
Oh, well, they do it on the NHS. I remember feeling like I could hear a pin drop a street away.
Yeah.
Like after I had it done.
I've never done it before.
Maybe like a wolf.
I'm going to wait till I'm 40. I'm going to do it. I'm going to, it's going to be beautiful.
But do make sure that you soften it with olive oil first, because if you go to the doctor to have it done and you haven't softened it, they won't do it.
Now, sorry, olive oil in your ear sounds like homeopathy. Really.
No, that's a well-trodden path. It just softens it. There's no medical
first
process.
Pressing?
My parents only ever used olive oil to soften their ears until I told them that you could cook with it.
Is everyone just soft?
They were like, "Oh right, we were using this other oil for that."
Yeah. Do we get new oil? Do we just pour it out?
Don't use it again.
Dickens was born in Portsmouth, wasn't he?
He was, right? Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. That checks out, doesn't it?
What are we talking about?
It sounds very Dickensian. Yeah.
It's time for emails.
Email show@footballrambledaily.com. And now Jim is reading it out. Well done.
Right. We've got a few emails today.
Football time.
Keep making that noise. I just need to make the text a little bit bigger.
Jim, have you got any,
you need your olive oil your eyes, time. Mate.
Have you got any more emails about Gillingham?
We do.
Because we're going to get a load about earwax next week.
Don't put shit in your ears, people. Nothing bigger than your elbow. Smaller. Nothing bigger. Don't try to put anything bigger than your elbow in there.
Yeah. Right. Here we go.
Careful.
The text is suitably embiggened.
Cool.
Hello, lads.
All right.
Just writing in support of Luke's identification of Gillingham as one of the worst towns in the country. Although I've been to Portsmouth lately, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. As a Gillingham fan, I've been up there plenty of times and it's usually a good experience. Priestfield is a terrible stadium, as I'm sure you're aware. The away end is built from scaffolding and I remember it being called the Brian Moore Temporary Stand back in 2003-04 when we had loftier ambitions, but they've since renamed it to just the Brian Moore Stand. The toilets were also once featured in the BBC reality series Life of Grime. The town itself is indeed pretty crap. Once I was walking to a game in an ill-advised red rain jacket and a group of local youth heckled me as Little Red Riding Prick. That said, nice. I'm from just over the way in Maidstone, which, although a different flavour of awful, should still be considered as a serious contender to Gillingham as the UK's worst town. I'd be murdered for saying this, but it is, however, a much better footballing experience. Cheers, Tom Vaughan. So if you're from either place, his name's Tom Vaughan. So Tom Vaughan, track him down.
Let the red running
dish out justice.
Can I just say that, I mean, I've frequented both Maidstone and Gillingham on more than several occasions, and Maidstone is a mile better than Gillingham.
Right.
Ooh. A mile better.
Well, we've had a lot of emails about Gillingham. All of them are from people either from there who have been there, and they've all been like, yeah, it is awful.
Oh, it's like 31. I think one person, I think the email subject was, I think it's all right, really. And that's all I could say.
That's
about
a landslide. I've been to Priestfield, of course, as well, and he's absolutely right about that. I love the idea that they go, right, we're going to put this temporary stand in, and all they've made less temporary is just a name. Taking the temporary out, and now it's just a stand. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I went there for a Southend game few seasons ago, and it's the first day of the season, and it was, you know how warm it can get down in Kent, it's regularly like one of the hottest places in the UK, and it must have been 32 degrees that day,
right?
And that stand, no roof
on
it,
buckling
completely, completely exposed, you got no roof on it, and you're there for 2.5 hours or whatever it's going
to
be.
Come on, we've all been to football matches in Spain and stuff.
If Gillingham doesn't kill you, the sun will get you.
And I wasn't actually specifically talking about Priestfield, which is, I mean, it's not great, but it's fine. Mm. It's more the town itself, but certainly not the people, who I'm led to believe are very lovely.
Does anyone kind of...
they deserve a lot better.
Being a northerner and moving down south, I don't know where any of these places really are. Yeah. Does anybody else have that kind of blindness where you don't really know what Gillingham is? You don't know where most of the
like
towns
about,
are in Essex.
About the general north. I'm not sure
for Jim and I, Pete,
a lot of things are on.
Yeah. It'll be Watford and then...
Birmingham.
You could probably put a pin in Birmingham, Liverpool, Manchester, Sheffield, Leeds, maybe, and Newcastle and that bit, and then Scotland. That's
I know Sunderland and Middlesbrough are around your neck of the
Carlisle?
Woods a bit. Carlisle's the other side?
Yeah.
Is that right?
I've been to Carlisle. Mm.
Geography ramble.
Yeah. any more emails, Jim?
Well, we've got a few, actually. This one, if you support Liverpool or Man City, I suggest that you might particularly enjoy this one.
Right.
Or if you're Luke Moore, indeed.
Okay.
All right, gang. I'm a United fan, and Luke's constant OTT bitching about United is funny. I actually quite enjoy it. Luke probably knows that it's imbalanced and lacking nuance, and he probably does it for shits and giggles. Here's what I think is a realistic appraisal of United's last few games. Versus Arsenal, United total rubbish. Newcastle, United pretty good. Newcastle made it easy, but still a decent performance. Versus Burnley, United pretty good. A solid 2-0 away win at Burnley, a decent result. Versus Watford, total rubbish. Versus Colchester, solid okay performance against Colchester. Versus Everton, average performance against the revived team. Versus AK Alkmaar, good performance. Versus Man City, excellent performance. Spurs, good performance. Looking at these results, it's wrong to suggest United are a terrible team. They desperately need strengthening in central mid, and losing McTominay is a terrible blow. The lack of consistency is a concern, but there have been some positive and some negative performances. Solskjaer must be given at least one full season to prove what he can do. The judging before that is madness for me. I find the three signings last summer to reflect very positively on Solskjaer. To be balanced, his failure to secure a creative midfielder, something we desperately need, is very disappointing and worrying. He's done some good and some bad, some good performances and some bad performances. Keep it unreal. That's from Marcus Laversha. And he's not bothered by your criticism, Luke.
No.
If he's not, then how come, if he is, how come he's not?
Yeah.
Long email, that one.
Yeah, I feel it was worth it. You got anything on that?
I appreciate the time he spent to compose that email. I appreciate that he's noticed me, because I'm only in this for attention, as we all are. As
to sing the obscenity at a commentator when he's doing his job. Yeah, I thought they were a disgrace yesterday.
Yeah,
he's not as bothered as Robbie Savage.
Yeah, I mean, Burnley, I was just saying the Burnley thing. Burnley's record at home against the top six is absolutely appalling. Yes. I think the only time they've won in the last year or so is against Spurs, which is the thing that sent Pochettino mad.
Yeah.
And understandably so. But thank you very much to Marcus there.
I'm on his page because he gave Newcastle a couple of kicks as well.
you're here for that, aren't you?
I think,
to be fair, it was one of Newcastle's better performances. It's probably one of the best.
Reminds me a little bit of Rafa Benitez's facts.
Yes.
Press conference.
Where it's Ferguson was just rubbing his hands together. Pete, did you see that? I know you did see this. Because
in his videos.
You're the one that shared it with me, but I'm going to stick it out there for fun.
Right.
That Newcastle United were selling Man United shorts on their official club website.
Yep. Enjoyable.
Why were they doing that?
Because.
Not even the same manufacturer.
Bellens.
Are they just merging with the Sports Direct website?
Well, of course it is. It's a Sports Direct outlet, but yeah, that's kind of why that happened. Well, but it's.
One thing you would say about Mike Ashley, he is very accurate at specifically the things that genuinely really annoy Newcastle.
Yeah,
his record at like really targeting the things that they really care about. He's
positively
very, very good.
Myopic with his kind of like targeting, isn't he? He's like, this is gonna really grind everyone's gears.
Yeah. It's all United, isn't it?
Yeah. what are you gonna do tomorrow, Mike? I think I might. I don't know. I think I might reduce the size of the disabled stand. just a really accurate shitbag stuff. Yeah.
I think
really
I might
work.
Push all Amiobi off a roof.
How's that Michael Owen statue coming along? Yeah. So,
all right.
Right, we've got one more email.
Sorry.
It's worth it. Howdy, Ramblers. It's that dreary time of year where once again nostalgia justifies dross and tedious football matches. This weekend seems to exist so that football media personalities wheel out hoary old cliches of cup magic featuring non-league grounds and magnificent cup sets. Well, bollocks! The FA Cup has no magic and the vast majority of managers and clubs treat it like an elderly relative that won't do the decent thing and die. I.e. Dean Smith unapologetically crashing out of the competition, citing that staying in the league is his priority. Most cup sets are forgotten about within a week. If this all sounds familiar, you might remember this time last year, my proposing of a radical initiative of clubs obtaining points for reaching the deeper realms of the FA Cup. Quick recap. The four teams that reach the semi-final each receive 2 points. The finalists receive 3 points each. And the winner receives a 10-point bonus.
Why are you reading out all these maniacs emails?
I like They're it, but I am now. Also a maniac.
Yeah, true.
The initiative is supposed to incentive... Initiative is supposed to incentivize, like this is happening.
Yeah.
Mid to lower ranking clubs to play strong teams and compensate for points lost in the league campaign. The idea was widely henpecked by the Ramble at large, who seems to favour the knackered mismanaged system that clogs the already congested fixture list.
A cup competition
that favours the conventional top six and gives lower league sides a token pat on the back while quickly forgetting about them the very next week. And in conjunction with my radical and daring points for the Reaching Wembley scheme, I would also streamline the competition by having consecutive cup weekends throughout January, February, and have the final sometime in March. Teams that want to treat this like a winter break could do this, but miss out on the opportunity to gain the points. Also, I would scrap replays as they serve no purpose other than fixture congestion fodder and are a woeful spectacle at best. Tell that to lower league teams that need the gate receipts.
Yeah.
Instead, any matches that end in a draw go straight to penalties, thus adding thrill. Best way to save the competition is making it relevant for all clubs instead of churning tripe weekends. Not really sure what that's meant to say. I'm the last angry fan and I will not stop until the FA Cup shapes up and offers a decent product. Also, just scrap the League Cup. They did it in France. They seem pretty jolly. Yours earnestly, Damien Cunningham. Damien, do you just not like football? You don't have to watch it.
This is not a helpline.
Your email section is very much like people complaining about things we've done in the past. I'm for it.
Yeah.
I'm obviously for it. I think we need to buck up our ideas in a million different ways.
It's very angry this week, actually, it must be said.
Replays, as you alluded to there, Jim, are really important for lower league teams.
Yes.
Because traditionally you get half the coaches. Although we heard on OTC yesterday that Marseille... scraped through against a lower league side in the French Cup, and traditionally they give their portion of the goat receipts to the lower league team.
Yeah.
They just said they decided not to.
So then I got to.
Nah.
That's hilarious.
Not doing it.
That's the spirit of the competition.
That's a Gallic shrug, isn't it? Yeah. Like an excellent Gallic shrug.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess if a mid-table team, thanks to the points they weirdly win in this new system that Cunningham has come up with. old Cunningham.
Yeah.
If they manage to sort of jump a couple of places and finish in a high league position, presumably they would get less money in League One than a middling Premier League side. So I think the League One team should get the Premier League's money.
I don't know how any of this works.
I think they should give them the Premier League points.
I think they should give them soldiers' money.
Yeah. You get a couple of points waiting for you when you reach the Premier League at some point.
I think
you
should have a big ladder in the centre of the pitch, and every player has to climb to the top ladder and grab a suitcase full of money. Like a WWE match.
Do you think they should be paid nurses' wages?
I think they should be paid nurses' wages.
Yeah, I think they should. For the money they earn. I would implore any of Damien Cunningham's friends who may listen to the show to get in touch and just let us know that he's all right.
Yeah.
agree.
That was emails. You email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now
we'll be back after this.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble. Welcome back to the previous show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Luke, have you got any notices this week?
I don't, but what I have noticed is that Jim did a 9-minute email section there. That's how you do it, Donaldson.
Well, it's mainly just complaints, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a helpline. It's hardly, turned into a helpline.
Hardly a feel-good experience, is it?
I liked
it. Do that off air.
I enjoyed it because it gave me a bit of time to rest.
Yeah. the helpline as well is also based on problems caused by us, which is quite unique. Yeah,
we just start a little club call system, you know, like in the 90s where you used to ring up your football team and they would go, press 1 for transfers. Bearing in mind this is run by the club and obviously they would know what transfers were happening. It is rumoured that Newcastle United are going to buy Roberto Baggio. But they'd make you wait for about five minutes before they told you that.
It is rumoured that the club is about to sign someone. And stick around to find out who.
Yeah, and just play a bit of music, really dilly-dally. Yeah. Oh, yes, Steve Harper's signed a new contract.
Oh, well, 8-1-50. 50.
It would be Newcastle United secure the signature of ace player. It would be Steve Harper signed a new contract.
Exactly. On Saturday afternoon, the early kickoff is Crystal Palace Arsenal. Roy, fearing a bit of a gubbing here. There's a lot of injuries for Palace. Mm. They are the walking wounded. They've had a terrible Christmas period when it comes
have
to
injuries. Have you seen how many players they might be missing?
It's wild,
it's mad, isn't it?
It's wild. It's like the end. It's like a Game of Thrones fight scene.
It's 12 players.
Mm. Hot dog.
Hot dog, jumping frog, Albuquerque.
Yeah, I would imagine that that would mean this will be pretty much safety first for Roy Hodgson, which will be a test of Arteta if it is indeed an attempt to park the bus from Hodgson.
Right.
Because he's not really come up against that yet. So
I was impressed with Arsenal, the way they weathered that Leeds. It was weird. Against Leeds, so we saw they come out and they won 1-0. I was simultaneously impressed and unimpressed. One, because they look so bad against Leeds. Yeah. Leeds look so good and Leeds are a good team.
Leeds could have been 3 or 4 up in the first half.
But the way that he reacted and changed it and the way they rode their luck and came out there with a win, I would be more happy about that than anything else at the moment as an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, no, I was at the game and I enjoyed that very, very much. And also, there was a sense it would happen as well.
What? There was a sense that Arsenal would turn it around?
Yeah, very much so.
But I mean, a huge team talk half time. We talked about Farker.
What did he say?
What did Farker say? What does Farker do to ruin his team at half time?
Well, apparently, Arteta.
Feed them loads of pasta.
Against Everton.
Against Everton.
Arteta's
against Everton, instead, but they're 1-2-0 in the second half.
No, because this season, quite recently...
That's what Norwich I'm saying, with the exception of Everton.
Did you say the exception?
No, I didn't.
Well, say
That's
it
what I meant. Sorry,
you
Jim,
can't shout
on.
The complete opposite of what you mean, Luke. Otherwise, this isn't going to work.
Works on the radio. Jim, sorry, carry on.
Yeah, so what? Apparently Arteta shouted a lot at half-time, didn't he? I think we can only conclude
was shocked.
That Daniel Farke probably whispers a lot. Perhaps even cries. Which isn't going to sort of inspire you, is it?
I think Farke's a bit of a Kurt Cobain. Like, I think he keeps pushing his hair behind his ears, keeps looking at the ground, staring at his navel, talking about how he'd rather be hated for something he is than loved for something that he isn't. Mm. And
His jumper sold, Kirk Cameron's jumper sold for like 400,000.
I saw that.
Which one?
It stank.
Of course it fucking stank.
I mean, yeah.
Which jumper?
I don't know. Just the famous jumper. Is it a striped jumper? Like, yeah,
Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Hoops. Black and
Hoopies.
Red hoops.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Celtic.
Dennis the Menace.
Yeah. Dennis the Menace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim, you were talking about Arsenal at half-time.
I was, yes.
Did you hear the half-time team talk for where you were sat?
I could hear vague Iberian Fury, so I assume it was
good
that.
Band.
Yeah.
The half-time entertainment.
Yeah. So actually, I was in half-time, Sam and I were mostly talking about the £17.50 cheeseburger you can buy there and how we're going to just bite the bullet and buy it next time we
That's got to be a good one, isn't it?
Well, you would hope.
What'd you get in it?
Mm. I think it's a double cheeseburger with bacon in it, which Marcus hates, which is mental.
Yeah.
Stay tuned on that if you're interested in my taste buds.
What makes it so good that means it has to be £17.50?
Mesut Ozil.
What?
Mesut Ozil's wages.
It's scrapings.
Yeah. Going back to actual football, which we bloody have to,
We
don't because Marcus isn't here.
Yeah.
I was impressed by Arsenal's turnaround at half time, but I did expect it in a way that I wouldn't have done under Emery because that intensity that we saw against Chelsea and against Man United just wasn't there in the first half. We were even wondering, was it the plan to sort of, I don't know, concede possession a little bit and just maybe test out different methods of playing? Whatever they were attempting in the first half, if it was deliberate, it didn't work. But the second half was just much better and they really realistically didn't look like losing it. The Leeds fans were amazing, it's got to be said as well. There were more than they would normally be. They had a huge allocation, but they were significantly louder than the home fans, which is not that unusual, but like it was notable even in that
context.
When
Leeds were in the ascendancy and Arsenal looked a bit rough, did you do, Sir Alex Ferguson, it's been revealed that during the City loss, he just went to his office, I presume he still has an office there, and drank red wine alone.
That's really
who did
sad.
That, it's really
who
sad,
Ferguson.
Fergie got so angry during the City loss, he just chipped off and drank some red wine alone.
And that office is probably like a cupboard now.
Yeah,
so well,
yeah,
that
probably
for
dusty. Yeah, probably like
who's responsible for keeping that in good nick?
Unless it was
maybe it's like hermetically sealed. Remember when they broke into Saddam Hussein's mansion and Uday Hussein's bed was kind of like encased in plastic?
Huh.
I always think of that maybe Alex Ferguson's office.
I mean, so presumably, would it not just be the manager's office? Because if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer comes in and you just got a pissed up, depressed Alex Ferguson sat in your chair,
I'd
not
going to
make
that.
You feel great,
I'd
is it?
Definitely take that. That'd be wonderful.
No, he's obviously got a role there, but I mean, does that mean you get to keep the same office? Probably.
I presume
in his
it's an office. I presume he's got a little room that he can go to have a shout about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's tactics.
Have you got one of those?
That's just my head.
Before we came on air, you said the only spare room you've got in your house is the toilet.
Yeah.
If I want some peace and quiet, I've got to stick my head down the toilet. It's not a little kind of like my little quiet place. Yeah. My happy place, you might
say. I have a cupboard for my shouting room.
Do you, Jim, do you see Cavani heading to Arsenal?
I've seen
put
the rumor.
A bid in, apparently.
Yeah, I can't. I'd be delighted.
I don't buy it, personally.
But I would be very surprised given that, you know, we're already trying to force two central playing strikers into the team.
Right.
Oh, it's definitely what they need.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
I mean, Jesus wet.
Stick him in the back.
You can see that, yeah, I don't think there's anything to that.
No.
Yeah, I think that's strange.
Arteta's already in pretty much chats with the team. He's already been talking about non-negotiables in the dressing room. Mm. What are your non-negotiables in life, Jim? Seeing me stick my head down the toilet?
Well, I don't really... I've learned that I can't control you.
So damn right, baby.
Made my peace with that.
Damn right.
All my non-negotiables in life. I'll always go for brown sauce over ketchup on a bacon sandwich.
Yeah, you're a pervert. Leicester City versus Southampton. Saturday at 3 o'clock. Saints obviously hoping for a slightly easier match away from home after their 9-0 pounding. That was a great night. We were in Newcastle. We were watching it backstage. Luke could not be happier. watching, and also amazing. A bit annoyed, strangely annoyed about his big rivals getting absolutely pounded.
No, I was annoyed for two reasons. One, that because
you know a few Southampton fans.
No, I wasn't. I was pleased that they were beaten, but I was annoyed just for the fact that, you know, sometimes you can forget in football that just because someone supports a rival team, that doesn't mean they're your enemy. Right. And I was annoyed because I imagine a lot of people work really hard to be able to afford a ticket to go and watch their team, and it doesn't matter that it's a rival team to mine. And for them, that those players to turn out that performance was embarrassing. Mm. I was then simultaneously annoyed that they didn't score 10. And then after that, I was annoyed I had to go back on stage because I wanted to carry on watching it. So yeah, there was a lot of annoyance going on.
I was a bit annoyed that Perez got a hat trick.
It was great because Sam sat down the front and kept shouting out whenever Leicester scored another one.
Yeah.
And everyone went, "Ray," every time.
Fantastic.
Fun. So they'll be getting some, presumably they'll have some kind of Vietnam War style flashbacks about this game.
Absolutely. Well,
Leicester are at home.
Should be more.
Well, really, should. Double.
But Southampton have only conceded 13 goals since that match, which was 11 games ago. I think only Liverpool and Leicester themselves have conceded fewer than that.
Yeah.
So they really, really have turned it around. It'd be amazing for Leicester to just smash them again and go for the 10. It all just unravel.
9-0 immediately.
They've got Vardy back after he spent a bit of time out, apparently.
What you need, isn't it? It's exactly what you want.
But one thing that was interesting after that 9-0 for Southampton was that the people around the club were saying, look, the decision was taken not to remove the manager because they thought there was a real problem with the players and they felt that he had made progress with them and it wasn't a job that a manager could sort out.
I heard you
say
that part a few weeks ago. Yeah. And I thought, yes, that's a great plan.
And they've done all right ever since. I mean, obviously, Southampton aren't a team who are going to win every game in the Premier League, but they're 12th. I mean, it's fine. Compared to how they have been in the past on occasion. So this is a tough ask for them, though. And Leicester are obviously going to take a lot of confidence from the last time they played. But I believe Wilfred Ndidi's not going to be there.
Right.
And he's obviously been an important player.
I like that. He's not going to be there.
Yeah,
yeah, he's got a, like a family thing. He's got like a family dinner.
It's double booked, yeah.
Well, on Wednesday, Leicester Villa obviously ended a goal apiece in the cup. Grealish, I know we talk about Grealish because he's a focal point and he's the kind of player that if they went down would probably find another club in the Premier League. But give him the ball and the whole team just relaxes. Mm. And I thought it was a really good performance against Leicester. And Tom Heaton is out. And what are you worried about? Nyland is one heck of a backup.
He played well, didn't he?
Leicester was smashing balls at him.
He made some good saves, and it's a really good draw for Aston Villa away from home. Yeah. I know Leicester played a bit of an experimental lineup and changed it around a decent amount, but I mean, it's great. I mean, Villa have got every chance now of getting to a cup final, which is a huge thing for them.
Mm.
Definitely.
But obviously, they have to stay in the league as well. You would imagine that's their focus as well. Yeah. Do you see the Southampton social media wags talking about this match this weekend? They did a little video of what words they muted on Twitter.
Right.
Did you see this? It was basically they've muted 9-0. Muted the word Portsmouth and I think Pompey, and also welcome to Liverpool, obviously.
Why would you mute Portsmouth and Pompey? I mean, surely you want a little bit of back and forward.
Yeah, you want a bit of
interaction.
I think it was just all one big joke.
And that's the thing, isn't it, now? Because football clubs exist in two ways. They exist to have football matches on the pitch, but they also exist to have wacky social media presences.
Mm. Yeah. I think somebody pointed out that Peter Hutt did a bit of bants yesterday when Liam Gallagher said that Noel Gallagher, blah, 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 wanted to get Oasis back together.
Don't talk about this for Marcus.
I know. Sorry, mate. Peter Hutt basically tweeted, why don't you get together over a pizza? The most homeopathic levels of bants I've ever heard in my life. Fucking
seriously,
awful.
But to be fair though, if you've got to show solidarity with the social media executive there, because there's some managers who probably had a massive pop at him earlier in the day. Get more involved.
Yeah. Snap his
MacBook. And this browbeaten kind of, so it's just gone hard. What do we do, Peter? Yeah. Have a pizza?
Around America, why don't you have a pizza?
Imagine if you were running the social media account for Pizza Hut and then after your monthly review, they looked at what you've been doing and all you'd been tweeting was, everyone eat more pizza. over and over again.
Mmm. Pizza. Nice.
Is that all you've done? No, a picture of pizza in. That's not even one of ours.
You haven't even talked about Hutt, for crying out loud. Obviously, we're a couple of weeks or a week into the transfer window. Probably bears repeating what has happened. The cogs are starting to turn a little bit. Danny Drinkwater to Aston Villa. John McGinn's out, obviously, so he's they're obviously going to be hoping that he hits the ground running.
Is Danny Drinkwater still a footballer?
I don't know. I couldn't figure out why he just couldn't get his place at his Burnley. Was that, yeah. Apparently Ranieri's name for him was Drinky, which I learnt recently, which I enjoy immensely.
That's lovely.
Come on, yeah. Drinky. That's play lovely. Some bloody football games. But I think he'll get his chance here because Villa do need bodies in the midfield.
He hasn't played consistently for such a long time, though. Yeah. I think I was disappointed he didn't make that England squad. And then ever since it's gone downhill for him. Bless him. Yeah.
But 29 now.
Hopefully he can turn it around. I mean, the thing is that there was talk that he wasn't actually going to go there because Aston Villa were saying, we are not paying that amount of money for his wages.
Right.
So you need to lower your expectations. I think it was 110 grand a week.
That's saying. A lot of cash. That's a lot of scratch.
Money. Yeah. A lot of money. Mm. That's absolute radio wages.
Presumably
Burnley weren't paying that.
I don't know.
I mean, I have no insight.
I mean, they're paying 45 account. Grand a week to Joe Hart, so who knows? Listen, mate, you can do this all day. The ultimate example of that was when John Utaka was getting paid more than Cesc Fabregas, isn't it?
Come on.
At Portsmouth.
Peter Utaka's one of the big J League breadwinners, let's say.
Is he?
Yeah, makes a lot of
egg
cash.
On your face.
Yeah,
Luke.
So keep
in the family.
I feel stupid now.
The Utakas in their big mansion.
Are they related?
Yeah.
They're brothers, right?
Cool. I love Peter Utaka's Instagram. I keep on talking about it.
It's got any highlights?
Get involved. She's got a big head. Liverpool, Minamino, the Japanese footballer from... Where did he come from?
He came from Salzburg.
He came from Salzburg, didn't he?
Yeah. Did you see that video doing the rounds with him?
Oh, by the way, sorry. Oh. And who are not in any way related to RB Leipzig. It says here.
Okay.
Carry on.
Yes, good. Yeah. Thank you.
Rasenball, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
There's that video of Minamoto doing the rounds of him like...
Minamino.
Yeah. Of him just like volleying balls at a goal with loads of like cards in it and knocking them through.
FIFA style, yeah.
And it's like, he misses loads of them.
It's very underwhelming.
He does better than any of us would, but it's not like this, wow.
you guys were giving him all sorts in the group chat yesterday. I actually think he did quite a good job under pressure in the time.
Yeah, he did do a good job under pressure.
He's a professional footballer.
But it's just it's a hard thing to do. That's like if you get all of them and you sort of volley in with both feet and doing overhead kicks and stuff, great. But it's just a bit of an underwhelming watch.
People are used to a high better
bad social media, and that is what the show is about. Yeah.
Is it better than the pizza? Is it better than the pizza art content?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It really is. But he's kind of playing from what I saw in the derby at the weekend. He's sort of playing in that kind of Firmino role. He looked a bit kind of. He didn't have the ball a lot, and he kind of like he's all on his toes. Mm. A lot of toe punts.
Was very very direct and forward thinking though, isn't he? Which is what's so good about this Liverpool team.
I worry about whether he's going to get many matches though.
Do you, as someone who is so fond of Japan, do you feel particularly invested in Japanese players in the Premier League?
I mean, we've got one.
Yeah.
And he's not very good. So, no. Man United are back in the hunt for Bruno Fernandes. Obviously, Pogba and Scotty Mack's out. So, is that ever going to happen? Is he ever going to move? Because we obviously saw him last season.
Didn't we? I'll give you a pass because obviously you wouldn't have heard OTC yet because we're recording this pretty early.
You wouldn't let me in the room.
No.
I wanted to helm that as well.
Fernandes is, we talked about it a bit yesterday. So check out what Andy Brassel says there, but I cannot remember.
Hang on, so you're saying, Pete, you weren't here for OTC, you weren't listening in.
I'm giving you a pass because you wouldn't have heard it.
Right. Sounds like you haven't heard it either.
No, I can't remember it. So Jim, it's over to you.
Yeah. Do you think I'll go? Yes or no? Give us a yes or no answer.
No.
Right.
Not to
nuclear
them.
War, yes or no?
Absolutely
right.
Not.
And if people think he's going to offer the same thing that Scott McTominay offers, they're very much mistaken.
Pepe Reina. Might be going to Villa, apparently.
Well, Pepe running. Listen, he needs to do what every other person needs to do in Milan at the moment and get the hell out of the football club because it's an absolute nightmare.
Oil slicks left, right and centre.
And again, Nicky Bandini talked about that at great length yesterday. Sad in a way because it's a proud club and all the rest of it, but they're in a terrible state. It's not. Doesn't look like it's getting an awful lot better. So, I mean, how old is Reina? 37?
Yeah, he's cracking on. Just let him rest. Will just people just let that man rest?
He's an amazing cheerleader for the Spanish national team. Yes. Can he do the same for Villa? Probably, be great if he could.
Probably not, you'd imagine. Right, it's time to learn.
Oh, before you go into four to score.
It's time to learn.
It's time to learn.
Luke, it's time to learn, my friend.
Well, then let me teach you this.
Okay.
Did you see what happened with Dundalk?
No.
In the League of Ireland.
Okay.
They got a march stolen on them when it came to unveiling their new signing because a girl spotted it on the guy's Tinder profile and leaked it.
Come on! Yeah.
That is brilliant.
So he had on his Tinder Dundalk footballer and he hadn't been officially Love announced. It. And she broke the news.
It's a good... Look, it's great that he's keeping his pictures up to date.
Yeah.
But the not resting on his laurels, 10-year-old photos.
And Pete, your part internet here.
Right.
Is it right or wrong that I saw that and I thought, that's brilliant, and I got cynical thinking, they've done that on purpose.
I think that's a very bold...
No, I'm having it. Yeah, I'm in
nothing's organic anymore, is it?
Yeah, I'm in the Luke camp.
Maybe.
You can't have anything nice nowadays.
Yeah.
But I super like the story.
I look forward to the Christopher Nolan adaptation of the story.
Mm. Yeah.
Betway's four to score. Lukey Moore.
Yes, it's free. Just pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches each round. And if you're correct, you can win up to 100... Well, I think it's 175,000, I'm going to say now.
Holy bloody moly.
Let me just double check that live
on
the
show. It's a lot of scratch, Jim. What would you do with that amount of money?
Well, don't answer that because it's actually 200,000.
What would you do with more money? imagine what you were going to say and then add a speedboat to it.
Buy a London property. And it would not be enough, would it? Would
Thanks,
not be
Jim.
Anywhere near enough.
That would be a garage in it.
All right, have a trampoline.
All right,
cool. I'm just actually typing speedboat for sale into Google.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get a decent looking one here for $3,000.
You know what?
Mooring fees though, mate.
Yeah. You know what? A butler's average wage in London is pretty low. So I might just stay in the flat above a chip shop like I rent and just have a butler for 4 years.
I thought you were going to say become a butler. Earn some more money.
Yeah.
£200,000 if you're correct. You get the first goal scorer correct in each of Betway's four selected games. Head to betway.com/4 to score. That's slash the number 4 and then to score. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game for obvious reasons and further T's and C's apply. Game 1 is Wolves v Newcastle. Jim.
I have gone for Raul Sangriento Jimenez.
When will you learn?
Stop this.
When this ends.
It's
got to happen. Surely.
If it gets into the situation every week from now on where you've got a Wolves game, do you want me just to put Raul Jimenez in there?
Yes. Okay. Unless he scores in this one, in which case I feel the curse is broken. I think this is probably a good insight into the sort of fucking minefield of anxiety that my mind is, that I get myself back myself into a corner over just picking a Wolves player.
I thought you were going to say the minefield of anxiety that Newcastle United is.
And that, yeah.
It's more of a malaise.
So you've got Raul Jimenez. Pete, you've got Spurs v Liverpool.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Heung-Min Son. Thank you.
Even though you've said that Tottenham have got no chance of winning the game.
Yeah, but he might nick one at the start.
Watford are now the best team in the Premier League, so I'm going to go for Troy Deeney against Bournemouth. That's my game. And Marcus in Villa versus Manchester City. Who do you think he's gone for, guys?
I can see it.
Of course you can. It's a shared document.
I can't. Yeah.
He's gone for Raheem Sterling.
Has he?
Who may not play, but we shall see. I think he will, though. So that's £200,000 if you get all those first goal scorers correct. Betway.com/4 to score to play. You must be over the age of 18 and do bet the responsible way.
Guys, it's the last day of school, so I present to you... It's not going for gold.
What?
We've got a new game for 1 week only that has many similarities with going for gold.
Okay.
Okay.
It's the Masked Winger.
Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. It's the Masked Winger.
I'm really proud of the last bit. I'm really proud of
the
last bit.
Can I just ask?
Drum work, excellent from
that
you.
That was absolutely staggeringly good.
Thanks. Mm.
Did you do that all yourself?
I did that all myself, as in I bought the music and then sang over the top of it.
So you're not paid someone £200?
No, I paid a library of music £13.
That's a much more... That's a
that
better
was £13.
So you've got a whole library to torture us with now.
Yeah.
Can we hear it again, please?
If you want.
Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. It's the Masked Singer!
Winger, not singer. That is a contravention of many copyrights. It's the Masked Winger. Under a mask is a winger. You have to guess who it is through a selection of clues.
And it just says here, any similarities are accidental. yeah. And coincidental.
Yes.
And this should not be mistaken at any point for any other game show outlet.
Please, either here or abroad. Copyright responsibly. All right.
So we're basically doing Going for Globe, but you've got a box on your head.
Shut up! That's okay. Exactly what we're doing. Right. Okay.
Describe to people what you're putting on your head.
A little, I'd call it a docket. It's like a little bin, innit?
Yeah.
So I'm putting it over my head. I am now the masked winger.
Why is your arm in there as well?
Because otherwise the head goes through the top.
Oh, God.
I was born on the 8th of April, 1987.
This is putting me off. Is it putting you
off?
It
really is, yeah.
Grow up.
Stop. Jordan Shaqiri?
No.
Just thinking of boxy things.
Can you even see the clue?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Don't you be looking at them.
87, you said.
So yes. He's 32, possibly 33.
I'll have none of these delaying tactics like Marcus does.
Stop. I'll go for... oh, God. I've no idea. James Milner.
James Milner, okay. No, it's not. I've played football in Spain. I play football in Spain, the UAE, Turkey, the Netherlands, and England.
Stop. Ryan Barbel.
It's not Ryan Barbel.
Stop. Alfonso Alves.
No, it's not Alfonso Alves. I was named player of the tournament at the 2007 under-21s UEFA European Championship, helping my country win the tournament for the second year in a row.
Stop. Is it Hatem Ben Arfa?
It's not Hatem Ben Arfa. Despite early success at the aforementioned youth level, I only made one appearance for the full national team.
Stop. Is it Adel Taarabt?
It's not Adel Taarabt, but love to hear his voice.
Can you read that one again?
Despite early success at youth level, I only made one appearance for the full national team.
Yeah, I'll go on.
All right. I currently play for Dutch amateur club Kazakhen Boys.
Stop. John Bostock.
No.
Stop. Patrick Kluivert.
No. I have reportedly fallen out with several managers, including Jose Mourinho and David Moyes, due to my wayward lifestyle.
David Moyes.
David Moyes.
David Moyes.
The ferryman. Stop. Antonio Cassano.
No. I have dated Spanish Playboy model Milena Gracia, opened a clothing store and a perfume shop, and also I started a record company.
Stop. Is it Iker Casillas?
It's not Iker Casillas, no.
For fuck's sake.
Fell out with...
I've named every player, Jim. He must be wrong.
He's fallen out Mourinho and Moyes.
Oh, see what you mean.
I'm moving on. Yeah, during a loan spell at Everton, I was rumoured to have turned up at Finch Farm training ground with several women for a 2 a.m. raunchy hot tub session. Remember, this is a winger. It's the masked winger.
Oh, it's always a winger. You didn't make that clear.
It's the masked winger. What do you think it was? Fucking was.
I thought you were just doing a pun on singer.
No.
Boxed weirdo, as far as I can
tell.
Nothing about this is normal, Pete.
No. Raunchy hot tub session.
Oh, stop.
Two clues left.
Winger.
Stop. He has to be a winger.
Yeah.
So all my other guesses have been completely poor. Well, not all of them.
I know, that's why I said no to every last one of them.
I probably shouldn't have guessed Iker Casillas.
I think you're conflating Spanish Playboy model.
Stop.
With TV presenter.
Oh, he,
the first time.
He went on loan to Everton.
Yeah.
I can't think.
All right. On my debut for Real Madrid, I scored a 40-yard screamer in the Spanish Super Cup, and during my first season in La Liga, I played regularly, keeping Marcelo out of the team. You'll definitely get it from the last clue. So,
everyone else
fingers on the buzzers.
Go ahead.
In 2016, I retired from football for 2 years to pursue my rap career. Recording songs with my friend Unique and performing under the name Roya Two Faces.
Stop. It's Royston Drenthe.
Luke Moore wins.
Not that.
Luke wins! Under there, under the mask. Let's see if we can figure it out.
Thank you to Ross for the clues for that one. This has been the... Stop waving.
Under the mask. Let's see if we can figure it out.
This is the best song ever. It's the sound of the summer. This is this year's Get Lucky.
It's the Masked Winger.
People are complaining. Look, it's not as bad as Luke's game, all right?
Fuck off.
Jesus. Preempting their complaint. Actually, to be fair, that is all the email inboxes now.
Yeah. Just complaints. Have you had fun, guys?
It's been all right.
All right.
I enjoyed it. I miss being good at this game.
Well, thank you very much for listening to the preview show sponsored by Betway. Thank you to Marcus Speller for returning on Monday. We'll be back very soon.
Bye.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.